Today's shiur in the Dear Shiur Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Samach Tes Omed Aleph. We're going to be, Ezras Hashem, finishing up Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin in the sixth volume of Mishneh Berurah, and going to start, Ezras Hashem, and complete two other short simonim, Tov Kuf Tzadi Ches, Tov Kuf Tzadi Tes, and start Tov Reish. So a big day of agenda. Let's begin second line from the top, Siv Gimel. Mechaber writes, Mis'ane Pamachas B'Rosh Hashanah. If a person fasted even one time in Rosh Hashanah, and this was for a Tanis Chalom, that he had a bad dream, so then in the future, if this was on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, so he fasted the first day of Rosh Hashanah, one time at Tanis Chalom, Tzarech Lisanos Shnei Hayamim Koyomav, he has to fast for the rest of his life, both days of Rosh Hashanah during the daytime. Not at the nighttime, but during the daytime. However, if this Tanis Chalom fast that he once did, Voyom of Yom Sheni, it was on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, so then he just has to fast for the rest of his life, Yisana Koyomav Yom Sheni Bavad. He has to fast only on the second day of Rosh Hashanah going forward. Now, the understanding of this is as follows. Mr. Burr and Siv Kotten Zion tells us, if you're not sure, is this the type of thing that you fast for on Shabbos, so then you don't have to fast for it on Rosh Hashanah as well. And Dirsha footnote number 15 says that this has previously been discussed in many different opinions in Simon Reish Pei Ches. Sivkot and Ches and Mishneh Berurah, you have to fast both days if you fasted the first day for Tanis Chalom. The Tarvayu Hem Kiyom Echad, as we've mentioned many times, this is Kiddush HaRichta, which we go Lahachmir in this situation to say that it's one long day, 48-hour day, and we will learn more about this with Kamosha Kosa, B'Simon Tov Reish, and we deal with Beitza Shenolda on Rosh Hashanah Mitzvah. We'll start that later in today's shir. Sivkot and Tes, you have to fast the rest of your life. Umikol Makom, the Mishneh Berurah says, Mishenu Yari Lenavsho in circle sounds. But if you're not afraid about this, then you don't have to go and fast for it. Kudil El. We said previously that if a person is not worried about this, then he doesn't have to fast Kol Yomav. We had this in the end of yesterday's shir. Mishenu Yari Lenavsho in circle sounds Kol Yomav, brought down from the Kobo and the Minhagim. But if somebody is concerned about this, then they should be. Now, what's the understanding over here? Why would a person have to fast the rest of his life? So, the issue footnote number 18 brings down, but the Chassam Sofer, that the understanding here is that this dream that you had isn't just for that night. Normally a dream is that time, one time, you have fast for that dream and it removes the dream's potential for bad. But here, this was on Rosh Hashanah, so this is a siman for all future years as well. Lepamim lishonim rabos. And therefore, if you were saved and you had this Tanis Chalom, you have to continuously fast according to this understanding. Furthermore, he brings down, later in this Dirsha footnote, Shibiz manenu sheinonu bekiyam aleizah chalom, we're not so certain, as we mentioned, whether you should or should not fast. And in fact, most people aren't concerned about this and don't fast. So then he says, Lo yisana af bishona rishona, b'yom rishon. Then you don't have to fast even the first time it happens. And certainly, if it's going to cause you not to be able to fast, if you have to fast both Aleph and Beis of Tishrei, then you're not going to be able to fast well on Gimel Tishrei. So then, yasat tovus chalam. Just do the nusach that we do, for example, in the Birchas Kohanim. On the Yontif, when we say, well, the Kohanim are singing, we say the Hatovas Chalom Nusach, so you could do that separate from Birchas Kohanim, and therefore, that is a perfectly good option in this situation as well. He has other dinim in this footnote in regards to Tzom Gedaya, Ayin Sham, and Dershah footnote number 18. Then the Mishneh Berurah continues. He says, Sivkot and Yud, Aval Yom Rishon Lo Yisana Kla. But if you had the Tanis Chalom on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, so you fasted the second day of Rosh Hashanah, then you don't have to fast on the first day of Rosh Hashanah in future years. Why? Shiyom Rishon Udor Raisa. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is a real din daraisa. Beno nigro acha yom sheni. It doesn't fall subordinate, so to say, to the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which really is Beis Tishrei. Ya'akein tzarech lasos ba'afilu kiddush shoshachas. And therefore, you have an obligation to go make kiddush on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you don't fast on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Then the Ramah tells us, Hagah, the ein tzarech lemesav tanis latiniso. If a person fasts on Shabbos, so you're allowed to do that for a tanis chalom, but then you have to make up because you fasted on Shabbos. But here, you don't have to do a makeup for fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? Because the Ramah says, do yeshomim the mitzvah l'sanas Rosh Hashanah. He brings down from the Truma Sedeshen that there, in fact, are those that say there's a mitzvah to go fast on Rosh Hashanah. Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot Yudalev tells us, and this is afilu chol b'Shabbos, this is even if it occurs Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Sivkot Yudbeis, because even though the Mishneh Berurah says, "V'avdein halacha kein," that we don't paskin that there's a mitzvah to go and fast on Rosh Hashanah, as we already learned, "Uched le'el b'sif aleph mikom makom akoparim lo nachzit le'avera." It's not considered an avera if you do so, because there are opinions that say that it's a mitzvah to do so, and even though we paskin it's not a mitzvah, it's certainly not an avera. Sheitzarech achichach l'sanos hazek b'chol, and that you'd have to do a makeup day like you do if you fast the Tanis Chalom on Shabbos. You have to make a makeup day for fasting on Shabbos. Here, there's no makeup day for fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Then the Mishnah Berurah tells us, Misha Kiba Lulav Lisanos Rosh Hashanah. If somebody did accept upon himself to fast on Rosh Hashanah, in a dome, the Misha Kiba Lulav Lisanos, Mishabas Viyantiv, Dein Kabbalah Soklom. As opposed to on Shabbos Viyantiv, you accept upon yourself to fast, it doesn't take effect. But if a person takes upon himself to fast on Rosh Hashanah, it does take effect. And therefore, if you don't want to fast, Hachot Zorich Hatar, you have to do Hatar Sadar. Mechar the Yeshomer and the Mitzvah Lisanos Rosh Hashanah, because there is his opinion that says that it's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so therefore you have to do Hataras Nadar. Then we conclude with the Ramah. He says, "Ve'ein omrim aneinu b'Rosh Hashanah." On a fast day, we normally say aneinu, but not on Rosh Hashanah if you're fasting. K'moshe ein omrim b'Yom Kippurim, which we likewise, he brings down for the Agos and the Minhagim, that we don't say aneinu on Yom Kippur, even though we're fasting. The Mishnah Berurah explains, "Sivkon yud gimu mi'achar she'im yimei din," because these are days of judgment. Ve'ech shayach kol kach levakesh. It's inappropriate to ask Le'anos, that you should be answered b'Yom Tzom Etanis on this day, when it's a day of Yom HaDin. The issue footnote number 21 explores this further and brings down from the Yad Ephraim, she talking she'afi misanabo tanis chalom lo yom aneinu. Even for tanis chalom, we don't say aneinu. And he adds that kivim she'aitainis b'Rosh Hashanah eino bo b'shul inu nefesh. It's not coming to afflict you. You're only fasting over here for the purposes of inspiring yourself, spurring yourself to do good, and therefore you don't say aneinu. Furthermore, he adds, Yesh Omrim Shemitzel Lisanos Rosh Hashanah, Afim Einu Mitzdara Machmas Chalom. Even if you don't have a bad dream, there are those who say, as we just pointed out, that you should fast. And therefore, Asibo Shemitzanah Rosh Hashanah, Hu Machmas Shomi Bosa Yom Ledin. It's because of the Yom Adin. And therefore, you don't say Anenu, B'Yom Tzom Taniseinu, because the Tzom is not a tainus for us in the sense of an Enoi. And even though Yom Kippur is described as an Enoi, nevertheless, that's not its essential purpose. Ela Bishul Amidas Adin. It's to go and make sure that we are properly facing our din in Shomayim. That concludes the beautiful Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin. And now we go to the very short Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi Ches, which the Mechabes starts Sif Aleph, Rosh Hashanah Cholios B'Shabbos. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we do say Omrim Tzidkotzcha B'Mincha. We normally don't say Tzidkotzcha on a Yontif, but here we do. The Mishnah Berurah explains Sivkot and Aleph, Kivan Shu Yom Hadin Omrim Tzutz. Since this is the Yom Hadin, we do say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek. Tzutz, you see at the bottom, we remind ourselves many times we said this, is standing for the first word of each of the three psukim. And Ashkenazim and Sfardim say it in the act opposite order. These three psukim, so Ashkenazim say 1, 2, 3, and Sfardim say 3, 2, 1, and each of these begins with the word Tzidkotzcha, Vitzidkotzcha. The middle one is always Vitzidkotzcha, both Ashkenaz and Sfard, and then Tzidkotzcha, so this is known as Tzutz. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. We say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek because it's Yom Adin, Mishum Tzidik Adin. We're justifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment of us. Shari Anu Omrim, because we say Nishman Esrei, Vayigba Hashem Svakos B'Mishpat, Vayel HaKadosh Diftash B'Tzdakah. So that's part of the Nusach of the concluding Bracha, and therefore that is an appropriate day for us to say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek, even though on a Yontif we normally don't say it. However, then the Ramah says, Hagov Yesh Omrim Shaloli Omro. He brings up from the Ran and the Minhagim that we don't say it. Sheyesh Omrim Shaloli Omro. And he says, He paskins V'chein Onologim. We follow this opinion of the Ran and the Minhagim that we do not say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah continues. The end of Sivkot and Aleph, where I just left off. Vayesh Omrim Svirlu, the Ha Al Koponim, Yontifu V'Rosh Chodesh. It's Yontif V'Rosh Chodesh, and we normally don't say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek on that day. In Dishu foot number one, he brings down Bav She'ein Ze Yontif Ragil El Yom Adin. It's not a typical Yontif, it's Yom Adin. Nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan says that according to this opinion of the Ran and the Minhagim, L'daitim Ein Lachu Shuzet, we don't concern ourselves with that. Kikvar Nismaku Hadinim Achatilas Mosa, because we've already sweetened the din. Nismasku Hadin, it's Motok, and therefore we don't have the Yom Adin full power over us, and therefore we don't say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek because it's a Yontif. He explains the machlokas here between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is also the same on Yom Kippur, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. According to Shulchan Aruch, you would say Tzidkotzcha Tzedek, and according to Ramah, you would not. And the reasoning of the Ramah, as explained by the Mishnah Berurah over there, is Tzidkotzcha Kosov Mishpatecha Tohom Rabah. It says that your judgments are very, very deep. L'chein Ein Lomer, he says it's not proper to say that, because on Yom Kippur, we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy, and we don't want to say that your judgments are very, very deep. In other words, they're very severe. That concludes a little Siman Tovkuf Tzadi Ches, and now we go to another little Siman Tovkuf Tzadi Tes. Both of these have only one Sif, and the Mechaber starts Sif Aleph. Leil Rosh Hashanah Cholios B'Matzi Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Sunday. So you have to say in the Shmoneh Esrei a Havdalah, like we'd say Atto Chanantanu, on every Matzi Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei. So we say, as we all know, the Nusach Omrim Vatodienu. We say the special paragraph that's a havdalah of a todienu. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkon Aleph, Haminuk Shemispalim Mitoch HaSidr. We daven from a Siddur, Afshalo Berchu Adayim Birchas Bar Mireish, even though we haven't said the Bracha, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the lights, how come you're allowed to do that? So he says, Ayin Shari Tshuva Atam, he says, look in the Shari Tshuva for the reasoning, She'ein Zeh Hanoa Gemur, because you're not really getting a full Hanoa by reading from the Siddur, Tiktsas Shigur B'Fiv, because you know the Nusach somewhat. And therefore, it's not considered that you're benefiting from the Bar Mireish without saying the Bracha. He says, "Va'machmir yachmir liatzvo." If somebody wants to be machmir and not use the sitter and say it by heart, he's allowed to do so. Aval ein lahoris lacherim. But we don't paskin this publicly because it certainly would be very difficult for most people to do. The issue footnote number one explains further. It is a long footnote. We'll go down to the fifth paragraph where he says, "Ubitama matirim lehenos min haner kodim shivarchalav." Those that say you are allowed to get enough from the ner even before you make the bari marieish. So he brings down to the Knesset Gdola in the name of the Marash Halevi. And this is all brought down in the Shari Tshuva, as the Mishnah Berurah just mentioned, that the bracha Bari Mireish is not a Berchas Nanin. It's not a bracha that you say, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a certain Hanoa, like you make a Shahaka before you take a drink of soda. Shari Hanoas Haner Nivteres Kfar Berchas Yotzei HaMioros Shoshachos. Because we already, so to say, made a Berchas Nanin when we said in Shachos Yotzei HaMioros. And this is the opinion of the Prima Gadim as well, that the bracha Bari Mireish is not a Berchas Nanin. So why was it set up? El Nisakna Zecher Lebriaso Eish B'Motzi Shabbos Ayde Odom Rishon. It was set up to commemorate HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing Odom Rishon when it got dark for the first time. Shabbos was all light, Friday was all light, so you had 36 hours of light, and then suddenly becomes dark. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Odom Rishon how to go make fire, and we commemorate that by making Havdalah. Therefore, it's not a Berchas Nanin. He further brings down the Tosfos, explains that you don't make a Berachas Hananin on something that your guf doesn't really get hanoah from. And this is the Mishnah Berurah as well. We learn in Siman Reish Tes Zayin, Shel Tiknu Brach Al Hanoah, Shem Nechneses LeGuf. We don't make any bracha on something that doesn't enter into your guf. On the other hand, he does bring down from the Bir Halacha in the name of the Magen Avraham that it is considered a Berachas Hananin, and the opinion of the Prima Gadim, Shei Berachas Shevach, Kein Berachas Mitzvos. Again, different opinions, but there isn't a problem in davening from a sitter in a lit shul, davening from your machzer, and saying vatodi einu. That's the bottom line. Then we have the Mishnah Berurah Sivkon Beis. He says we say the nusach of vatodi einu, even though av she'omrim bo v'chagigas haregel and Rosh Hashanah ain't a regel, even though it mentions this distinction between Shabbos and Yontif, and this technically isn't one of the regalim. Nevertheless, mikomakom ki hechid amrinu b'motzi Yontif be'avdala, just like we see on Motzi Yontif. With the Abdullah being Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Memaseh, which it's not. So we say that Damrinan, say their Abdullah Sumoni. You're just mentioning all the different Abdullahs. So Hochanami, say their Atikin Homer. So too, we're just mentioning Abdullah over here as well. The issue foot number two brings down what happens if you forgot to say it in Shochach Liomro. So then it's basically the same dinim as Ato Chonan Tonu. And you go look in Simon Reish Sadi Dala for those dinim. You don't go back and repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, right? Because you're going to say Abdullah Alakos. When you say Kiddush, you'll say Hamavda bin Kodesh Lakodesh in the Kiddush as well, as it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Tafilum Hiskil Rak, and even if you just started the next words after Vatodienu of the Bracha, skip Vatodienu, you say Vatit Lam Hashem Elokeinu, so the Matthew Ephraim says, Shuv Ein Lahachmi, you don't have to be Machmir to go back and say over Vatodienu. This concludes the beautiful simon of Tavkuf Tzadi Tess. And we begin now Tof Reish, the 600th Simon in Shulchan Aruch. And we begin Beitza Shenolda B'Rosh Hashanah V'dinei Kiddush. So it's going to deal the first part with a egg that's laid on Rosh Hashanah. We have a whole Masechta Beitza that deals with the Beitza Shenolda on the first day of Yontif, Shabbos, Yontif together. So we'll deal the same things now with Rosh Hashanah. So the Mechaber starts Sif Aleph Beitz Shenolda B'Yom Tov HaRishon. If you have a hen that lays an egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, v'chein ma'ashenitzol bo, or if something is trapped on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, v'chein ma'ashenitlash bo, or something that was falling off a tree, was removed from a tree, or something like that from the ground on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so asur b'sheni, as opposed to on Yontif, where it's permissible because of a manushach that the Mishnah Berurah will tell us in a moment, here it's asur even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What's going on? So the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot and Aleph, Af agav de bishar yontif mutur basheni mikoach mimanu shach, even though on every other day, on the 2-day yontif in Chutz Loretz, where we have a mimanu shach, that if it's late on the first day, you can eat it on the second day for the following reason, im yom rishon hu kodesh. If, in fact, the first day of yontif was the real day of yontif, so then the second day, im yom rishon hu kodesh, hasheni hu chol, the second day is not yontif. So therefore, there's no problem. And if, in fact, the second day is Yontif, Vimasheni Kodesh, then the bottom line is, HaRishon HaYechol, the first day is Chol. So, Mimanushach, on the second day, you're able to eat this egg because either it was laid on a weekday and now it's no problem to eat it on Yom Tov, or it was laid on Yom Tov and now it's a weekday. So therefore, we have this Mimonoshach on a regular two-day Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz. But here, by Rosh Hashanah, Hacha Aser, here the post can bring down that it's Aser because the Tarvayu Chada Kiddush Tahi, because as we've mentioned already several times, it is considered a single Kiddusha, and therefore, you can't say it's now Mimonoshach. No, it's the same day. It's halachically, at least L'chumra, as we'll see, we go and say that it is not allowed to be eaten on either day of Rosh Hashanah. And Dershah footnote number one brings down over here this concept in more detail. And Dershah footnote number one tells us that the reasoning has been explained previously in Siman Tov Reish Aleph for a two-day yontif. And go look over there for those details. Then he says over here, in regards to a shvuz derabanan letzor chola, for a sick person who has a mechush ktsas, a little bit of a bother, some illness. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both said in Siman Tov Tzadi Vav, Shav Shebishah Yontiv Sheni, even though on a normal second day of Yontiv, Yochol Lasos Refuli Atzma Lechatkilo, you can do things that are needed. Nevertheless, over here, on Yontiv Sheni Shavu Shana, you don't have the right to be Mekel, again, because of this Kedusha Arichta idea. Likewise, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday or a Friday, and this egg is laid on the Thursday, so we're going to learn in Siman Tov Kuf Yud Gimel, even though on Shar Yontiv Shechol B'yomim Chamishi V'shishi, on a regular Yontiv that falls out on a Thursday, Friday, and then you have Shabbos, so you can eat the egg on Shabbos, because Kivin Shehutra K'ralif Nei Shabbos, because it's permissible already on Friday, because of this Mimonoshach, nevertheless, here, it's different than Rosh Hashanah. Asura beits agam b'Shabbos. Then you can't have it not only on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Thursday, not on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Friday. You can also not have it on Shabbos. Ukedin beits shenol b'yontif rishon asamach l'Shabbos. This is like a Friday Shabbos yontif, where if it's late on Friday, you can't have it on Shabbos, because then you have a problem of achana from yontif to Shabbos. And he says, v'chein b'chol Rosh Hashanah b'yomim rishon u'sheni v'nolda beits b'Shabbos. Likewise, if you have Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday, Monday, and then you had the egg late on Shabbos, Asura gam biyom sheni b'times that. Again, the same thing applies in the similar situation for Sunday and Monday Rosh Hashanah. You can't have this egg until Rosh Hashanah is over. Ocheni says, levasho biyom tov rishon shor Rosh Hashanah tzorcha yom sheni. If we're saying that it's one day, so then you should be allowed to cook on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. For the second day of Rosh Hashanah, there the Shulchan Aruch has taught us in Siman Tov Kuf Gimel that that's not allowed. Sha'asur. Like any other yontif, we are not allowed to prepare the one day for yontif for the second day of yontif. Even though you want to tell me that this is a kedusha arichta, that's only lahachmir avolo lahakil. However, in regards to erev tuchum, it brings down that one has the right to be mekel to a certain extent, as we learn in Siman Tov Tez Zayin. In regards to Erev Tuchumim, because according to most, the din of Erev Tuchumim is the din of the Rabbanon. And therefore, if somebody ate up your Erev on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so if it was the first day of Yontif, you wouldn't be allowed to use it on the second day of Yontif. Here, then you'd still be allowed to use this Erev on the second day. And he brings down the Bir Halacha over there. Brings down the words of the Magen Avraham, L'chalek b'im bishul le'erev. Why we make such a distinction between cooking and the Erev. And he brings down from the Vilna Gaon as well, Ayin Sham, for these details. Finally, we conclude today's shir with the last words of the Ramah in Sif Aleph, Hagah. U'kvar nizbor le'el simen tov kuf yugimu, Sif hey, v'simen tov kuf tes vop. These halachos have been explained previously before in regards to the Hilchos Yantif, the 2 days of Yantif. This is a good break point. At this point, we conclude today's shir.